Parshas Vayera, I'd like to discuss two items with you. One is a bit more technical and the other is more general. The first thing has to do with HaKadosh Baruch Hu's promise at the end of the Akedah. At the end of the Akedah, HaKadosh Baruch Hu is delighted with what has taken place. And he says to Avraham, Yan Asher Asisa Sadav HaZel, so what's Avraham's reward for the Akedah? That will have children that will multiply. What's the problem with that? Obvious problem. In the beginning of Lech Lecha, he's promised that. In the beginning of Lech Lecha, HaKadosh Baruch Hu tells him that he goes down to Canaan. HaKadosh Baruch Hu says he's going to bless him with children, that'll have many children, that'll have. So here he says, yeah, because you did the Akedah, Yana, sure, this is the Dom Hazer, where Chasakta, Spincha, many, Kevarech, Avarech, 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 Avarech. So the question is, what is HaKadosh Baruch Hu giving him here? So the Ramban is bothered by this kasha. So the Ramban answers in Perakot Beis, Pasuk Tes Zayin, in the Ramban. Gam etchila hiftichai. Earlier in Perakot Gimel, Pasuk Tes Zayin, he was already promised, ki yarbe zara kechefe yashamayim ucha afar haaretz. Aval ata haisifai. Now, Hashem added one prize. Yana shor sisa, maisa god lazeh, huftach lai shalo yigloim shum chet, shiich lazarai, that shalo yigloim achet. Before he was given the promise that he'll have Arba'a Zaracha, but it was still Tali Va'aymeh, if Avraham will behave, if Yisrael will behave. But now that he went through the Maisa HaKedah, he got an extra bonus, that Shalai Yigrayim Shem Chet, that no Chet will be Gairim, that this promise will be abrogated. That's what the Ramban says here in Parshas Vayera. The problem is that by the Brit Bein Absarim, at the end of Parshas Lech Lecha, Hashem again promises something to Avraham. Ve'hemin b'Hashem v'yachshaveh aloi tzedakah. So we have three times Hashem promises. Once in the beginning of Lech Lecha, Perakid Gimel. Once by the Akedah, Perakhov Beis. And in between, in Perakhov Tezvav, by the Brit Bein Absarim, again, Avraham is promised by a Kadosh Baruch Hu says, look at the stars, and Kayyeh Zaracha. And because he had Emunah B'Hashem, Ve'yashavel, like Tzedakah, so Kadosh Baruch Hu promised him this promise. So the Ramban there asks the Kasha. The Ramban asks that same exact Kasha, that he was already promised in the beginning of Lech Lecha. So what's the promise by the Brit Bein Absarim? So the Ramban there answers that Hanochei Be'enai Ki Yayma Shehemin Ba'Hashem. Avraham had Emunah in the Rabbeinu Shel Olam, and he didn't feel like B'Tzidkas Avraham will Bischara, that he's getting things because he's a tzaddik, because he had Emunah. Apopi Shama Lo Yitzchach Ahar Be'Miyai Me'ata Lo Yira Pen Yigrei Machet. Ramban there answers, oh, I'll tell you what Hashem added by Brit Bein Absarim. In the beginning of Lech Lecha, Hashem promised that it could be a chet or be gairim. So therefore, by the Brit Bein Absarim, Hashem made an additional promise, shalo yigrem a chet. Very good, Teres. Now, Hashem promised in the beginning of Lech Lecha, so he promised again by the Brit Bein Absarim, he added shalo yigrem a chet. But then what's the pshat in the Ramban in our parasha? The Ramban Bayah says that the promise was by after the Akedah was a promise shalai yigrei machet, but that was already by the Brit Bein Absarim was the second promise, and there was the Ramban said shalai yigrei machet, and then Vayera it's again shalai yigrei machet. It's the student of Ramban, isn't it? Ramban is saying that it was promised at the beginning of Lech Lecha. The added promise was Shalai Yigrei Machet, and then the third promise was also Shalai Yigrei Machet. The third thing doesn't add anything to the second one. The second promise was already Shalgam Echei. What is the third heir that the second one didn't have already? Each Ramban by itself is good, but if you learn the two Rambans, it's sure. So the moral of the story is not to learn all the Rambans, and then you have a problem. What? So the Yigrem Achet implies that it will never, Achet will never cause it in the future. At that time, he had no Achet to cause it. So I heard a Teretz B'Shem Rav Huttner who said that there are two levels of Layigrem Achet. One Teretz of Layigrem Achet by the Bris Ben Absarim, that was a Bris. What is a Bris? You and I make a deal. A Bris means that you do something and I do something. Let's say I have two businesses. They make a deal. You don't start with my customers, I won't start with your customers. It's a Bris. It's a reciprocal relationship. You don't start with mine, I won't start with you. Now, if later, let's say one of the two, they keep the Bris, but they start doing other things. One businessman doesn't like the other one for other reasons. He becomes a crook, he starts whatever it is, he starts to become a Chal Shabbos or whatever it is, he does some other aveira. Does he have a right now to break the agreement? There's no right to break the agreement. The agreement is a bris. If you don't shepherd my customers, I won't shepherd yours. If you do other chatoyim that have nothing to do with our agreement, that can't change it. That's what I'm bound by Bris Ben Absarim. It's a Bris, Avram and Kadosh Baruch Hu, Klal Yisrael and Kadosh Baruch Hu. Well, Yigrem Achet there means that no other Averis, if Klal Yisrael become a Chalei Shabbos, if Klal Yisrael starts to steal, if Klal Yisrael starts to kill, the Bris is a Bris. Even if you do other Averis, it's not gonna abrogate the Bris. The Bris means an agreement. But there, by the Bris Ben Absarim, still, if one side would, if Klal Yisrael would not be Ma'amina B'Hashem, that means they're breaking the bris, they're breaking the agreement, then it's off. If one side starts to bother the other person's customers, but then the agreement is off, because there's a reciprocal agreement. The bris means a two-way street. So over there, in Parashas Lech Lecha, Shalei Yigrem Achet means only that other Averis, even if Klal Yisrael become every Avera, it won't break it because it's a bris. Bris means as long as you keep to the bris, I'll keep to the bris. That's Bris Ben Absarim. Now the Akedah, it's not a bris. The Akedah is a Shavua. Kadosh Baruch Hu swears. A Shavua is different. If you make a Shavua that you're going to do something to me, that's not a bris. Then no matter what I do, your Shavua is still binding. Over here, there's only one more word. Shalei Yigrem Shum Chet. That means even by the Akedah there was an additional promise that even if there's going to be a chait which seems to abrogate the bris, which means even if Klal Yisrael become a by desire, that also is not going to it's not going to break the deal. That also won't break the deal. That's the Eirid Nekuda that you find here in the Ramban and Vayera. So that one is a bris, which is an agreement, and here is the Shavua. Here is the one-way thing. It's not a reciprocal agreement. Kadosh Baruch Hu promises Klal Yisrael he's not going to abandon them, no matter what. But here, it's even if there'll be a chait, the Ramban says, Yan Asher Sisa Ma'aseh says, Shenishba b'shmaya gadol, Shir Zarei Shareba. V'hotach Moshe lo yigrem shum chait, Shiach lo zarei. So that, those are the two steps in the, that answers the theory of the Rambam. One's a bris and one's a shvu. This is Rav Huttner's teretz that I heard it from Rav Feivel Cohen many years ago. I davened by him, this is the teretz he said. So I showed this theory of the Rambam to my father, Olam HaShalom. And he said he doesn't understand the kashya. If you read the Rambam carefully, two different things. The Ramban in Lech Lecha says that Avram's chait won't be gairim. The Bris Ben Absarim is that Avram's chait won't be gairim. It doesn't talk about the Dairis later.
that no matter what you're going to do now, no chayt is going to, it's referring to Avraham's chayt. In Vayera, it's referring to Klal Yisrael's chatoy in later generations. He's talking about Shiyir Zarei Yisharaiva, Behosach Lai Shalai Yigrim Shum Chayt Shiyich Lazarei. A very, very simple terrace. Had a rough one in the midst of terrace, and it seems to be a very, very simple terrace. This is the Ramban.
We know
Avraham's
not going to have
quite
like, you know, children's conservation
line, so it seems like it's also going, even less of that seems like it's going even future. It's true, but it's only, the Haftacha here is only that Avraham's case won't be going and then it will change. It's going on David, but Avraham's case won't be going to the promise of generations. Here it's going on the views of Adam Yeshua, it's going on the generation. No, it's only the Vod has said to be told over, and the Vod has told them about you. Yaakov was afraid, and he's in the chayt. So, this bothered me for many years. And I think that really not a kasha, it's really haimimach. Two terutzim are really the same terutz. The thing about it, the promise that when you make a deal with somebody, you can make a bris. If someone's alive, you can make a bris with him. If someone's not alive, you can't make a bris. I can make a deal with you. But if I say it's binding on your children who are not yet born, so there's no reciprocal agreement, there's nobody committing the other way, you can make a bris with someone who's not yet born. By definition, a agreement which is l'dayrais is an agreement which is not a bris, which is a shvur. Maybe that hainuach, that an agreement for dairis is that way. That it's automatically a shvur, because you can't make a bris with somebody who didn't make an agreement with you. But be that as it may, the kayach of the akeda is this kayach, a tremendous kayach, that with dairis, Klal Yisrael has a haftacha, that no matter what's going to happen, that it's a one-way deal, and this applies even for the generation. No matter how vice Klal Yisrael achaitim the akeda. Now this is the biggest side in Yiddishkeit. When people talk about Yidden being the chosen people, or even Jews are the chosen people. In America, you can't believe in that, right? They're inferior people. They're superior people. You know, weren't all men created equal? You're better just because you were born to a Jew, and if you would have been in the house of born someone else, you would be inferior. The concept, Yiddishkeit doesn't believe Hashem created inferior and superior people. Hashem created one Adam. All human beings come from Adam. And after the Marble, there was one Nayach, and all human beings come from Nayach. What we do believe is that when a father does something, it is mashpia on children. Nishpia on children with diaries. That when a father does whatever it is he does, it has ashpa, it has only a thing ashpa. It's not the same. A Chinaman is not the same as an American, and an African is not the same as a Chinaman. People are different. The line that you're born into has a different ashpa. It's a fact. It's a fact in the Bria. My Pam used to say that the Akeda, the ashpa of Zairis, is not a schar, just a schar for the Akeda. It's in the nature of Yidden, because Avraham Avinu was makriv his son, so it became the nature of Yidden l'dayris. It happened many times in our history that children gave up their that fathers gave their children on Kiddush Hashem. In the Crusades, there were people who killed their children on Kiddush Hashem, and it was greater than Avraham. Avraham at least saw the Rabbi Nishon talking to him. Yidden in that time of the Crusades, God didn't talk to them. It's a matter of faith. And we mentioned in the kinnis that the shaftu, that they shechted their kids, like in the Shashem. It's even more than Avraham. But the answer is no, it all traces back to the Akeda. What Avraham did was mashpia l'dayrus. That ashpa is l'dayrus. So there's a promise l'dayrus. Why is there a promise l'dayrus? Because that ashpa creates a certain metzias in Yidden. And every one of the Asar and the Siyanis creates a certain Mitzvah in Yidden. I remember a farmer, one of his shmuzim, referred to a bacher, the yeshiva, who was a ben yachid, to parents who lived in Argentina. And he was born after 10 years. His parents didn't have children. Finally, they had a child. They lived in Argentina. They sent him to Tarvadas to learn. And they were poor people. They couldn't afford to bring him home. He was here for a couple of years without his parents seeing him. The problem is the spa. Where does a person get the kayak? Side of parents and side of children. He came find from his sister. To go away from his parents, it's tremendous. The Pham said he felt that it comes from the Nisayan of Lach Lecha. That it's the Yiddishkeit, Avraham did it, and it became part of the Teva of Yidden to be able to do such things. That's within the Teva of a Yid. And that's not just a promise to the Akedah, it's the Schar of the Akedah, because that becomes part of what a Yid is. Al-Kapanim, this is the Stiras Ramban, which certainly could like to know, and maybe to have additional thoughts on the Tavis. Right, there's one other thing which I wanted to talk about, which I think is an important topic, that Yeshiva Light, it's a mitzvah d'oraisa, which is Negev Zman Hazeh, and I certainly think it's possible to go through 20 years in Yeshiva and never ever be instructed on how the mitzvah is done. Imagine, the mitzvah. No one ever tells you how to do it. And that is, there's a mitzvah called Yiras Shamayim. Now, that mitzvah of Yiras Hashem is a mitzvah Sasei D'oraisa. And it's one of the Taryag. It's more than one of the Taryag. It's one of the six mitzvahs to Midiyas. It's mentioned constantly in the Torah. Avraham Avinu says, Yan, that he said, Ein Yiras Elokim B'Mokem Hazeh. He came, he had to lie that his wife is his sister. Why? Because there's no Yiras Hashem. I'd like to talk a little about what Yiras Hashem is. I think that most of us, certainly those of us that don't learn Musa Sfarim, have no clue what Yiras Hashem means, what the mitzvah is, and how to go about having Yiras Hashem. And it's just something that, you know, it's like there's certain catchwords that just turn people off. You know, in girls' schools, it's the word sneers. Sneers means that there's some, you know, it doesn't turn everybody off. It's like, you know, it means it's just a frumkeit thing. And I think the yeshiva world, words like Yiras Hashem are like, they're very frumkeit, like greasy type of words. And people get turned off, but hey, what are you going to do? It's a mitzvah. It's one of the Tayag mitzvahs. But you know, I'd like to explain what Yiras Hashem is. As a matter of fact, I'd like to start with a chakira. That is a question. There are two ways to understand Yiras Hashem. You could understand, what is Yiras Hashem? Tefira of Hashem. Is that a mitzvah to have Yiras Hashem so that you'll do mitzvahs? Is it an ensoy to do mitzvahs? How do you go about motivating yourself to do mitzvahs? You have Yiras Hashem, you're afraid, you're inviting Shalom, you do mitzvahs. In which case, this mitzvah is an ensoy, it's a way of getting to kiyam mitzvahs and davening and learning. Or is Yiras Hashem a mitzvah be'etzem? The mitzvah be'etzem to have fear of Hashem. Here's the question. Is Yiras Hashem something that be'etzem is a mitzvah because you should have Yiras Hashem? Or is it just a tool that the Torah requires that gets you to do mitzvah? There are different places that have different mashmaos. It says later in I believe in Mishpatim, Favortiya Yirasai al Panechem Lavilti Techatov. The Pasuk seems to say the Ferish, Favortiya Yirasai al Panechem, Kodesh Baruch Hu's fear should be on you, Lavilti Techatov, so that you don't sin. Sounds from that Pasuk as if Yiras Hashem is an emsoi. It's a way to make sure you don't sin. Or the Mishnah says in Pirkei Avos, Kol sheyiras chetoy kedemes lechachmasay chachmasay nisgayemes. If you have Yiras Hashem, it makes Torah be mekabeinu have kiyum bayim. These places make it sound like it's an emtzoi. On the other hand, the pasuk says, "Vayikim asa sheyiru mipanav." Hashem created the world so that people should have yiru. Sounds like yiru is a tachlis by itself. Or again, in Chazal, you find the mashmasim. The Gemara says in Shabbos, "Daf Lamed Aleph, Amar of Yehuda." That Yira, it seems, is the Etzem, something good. You know, it's like asking the last pasuk in Kehelet, Saif Dover Hakel Nishma, Saif Dover Hakel Nishma, and so Lekim Yare says, Mishpata, Saif Shamak, he's a Kabbalah. Right? So it says, is that one thing or two things? Saif Dover Hakel Nishma, and so Lekim Yare, that Mitzvah Shama, Kizek Allah. What is it? Is that one thing? That you Ray Hashem, so you do the mitzvahs, the Kol Adam. Was it two things? You have Yiras Hashem, you keep the mitzvahs. How does a person look at this? I think that this is probably a machlaikis, so at least a machlaikis achrayim, because a machlaikis in the Rishayim, I'm not sure. That's at least the Machlaikis Achrayinim. Reb Chaim Volozhiner in Ruach Chaim writes many times that Yiras Hashem is an emsoi to Torah Avoda. As you may or may not know, Ruach Chaim was written as a rebuttal against Hasidus. Chaim Volozhiner was a Talmud of the Gra, and it basically Ruach Chaim was written to correct some things that were perceived as false in Hasidus. Except that generally, Reb Chaim Volozhiner doesn't refer to Hasidus. He just basically, except in one place, but he basically just talks in general about the correct way of doing things. And he writes, those who think Yiras Hashem is a teyelas, no, Yiras Hashem has to bring you to do mitzvah, to bring you to learn. It's not something on its own. Reb Yaakov Kamenetsky in the Emes Liyakev in Parshas Ekev, says the same thing. Perek Yud Pasuk Chaf doesn't just do it. It's a Rambam, but basically he says, "Hanira the mitzvah sayira hu hataytzah min hayira." Mitzvah yira is that there should be results from Yiras Hashem. That something should come from Yiras Hashem. It's not the yira itself which has value. It's what the yira does to you, and that he defines as the mitzvah Yiras Hashem. It's interesting that when the Mishnah Berurah brings down the mitzvah of Yiras Hashem, you know where? Huh? It's Siman Aleph. Right away in the beginning, not Hilchos Shabbos, not Hilchos Yom Tov, the very first Siman, Shavisi Hashem L'Negdi Tamid, the Ramah brings down, the Bir Halacha there brings down, the Chai Yadam, the concept of mitzvahs t'midiyos. So I figured, let's look there and see if Yiras Hashem is an emsai or it's a mitzvah batsa. So the Mishnah Berurah there writes, the mitzvah is liyos yiras Hashem al panav tamid v'bilti yechta. The mitzvah is you should have yiras Hashem, so you shouldn't come to sin. U'mishabad v'aravei liyadei chayiv lahoya ruchai lasis alibai shakadosh baruch hu mishkiach l'kayel, and he won't sin. What strikes me is that the Mishnah Berurah is quoting this all from the Chayyadah. So he says, like Rabbi Yaakov said, the Chaim Volozhiner, that it's an emsai. If you look in the Chayei Adam, where he's supposedly quoting it from, the Chayei Adam's lashon, which is shorter than the Mishnah Berurah, the Bir Halacha's lashon, Chayei Adam says, "Liyarei mitnei Hashem, v'lasim yirasai al panav tamid." He doesn't say anything about l'zofei sechtal. Chayei Adam seems to say that the mitzvah is a mitzvah be'etzem of Yiras Hashem. What I'm trying to show you is that even the definition of Yira seems to be a subject of Machlaikis. If you look at Mesilas Yesharim, Perech of David, he talks about Yiras Hashem, he seems to be saying, like Rabbi Yaakov is saying, that it's an emtsai, which means that at least most of the Sfarim we use seem to say Yiras Hashem is a way of not sinning. That's the avoid of Yiras Hashem. Again, I believe if you look at Chassidish Sfarim, which I, for whatever reason, am not particularly knowledgeable about, I predict that you'll find just the opposite. that their shita is that Yiras Hashem is a mitzvah b'etzem. You know, nafkamina is if somebody's about to die, so he's not going to sin anyway. But they're a mitzvah of Yiras Hashem. So if you hold an emtzai, it's only an emtzai. If you hold a mitzvah b'etzem, so it's always a mitzvah. So what this leads us to is to understand Yiras Hashem. I believe that most people don't understand what Yiras Shamayim means. Most people think that Yiras Shamayim means to be afraid of Gehenim. Yiras Ha'Aydish. The simple level of Yiras Shamayim is Yiras Ha'Aydish. What is Yiras Ha'Aydish? So Pasha, it means that, you know, you're going to burn. If you do it, you're going to burn. So what does that mean? Let's say a person has a big tie of tea traces. He knows he's going to burn. So what it seems to mean is you should declare what's worse, burning or not eating the traces. Maybe have a person who will make a cheshbon that, you know, it's worth it. I mean, I don't think it's worth it, but let's say a person will declare to him it's worth it. So then, you know, so there's no union of Yerushalayim anymore. Yerushalayim is, I'm afraid I'm going to suffer because of this. You know, a lot of people feel, you know, the Baruch Shalom is a nice guy, and you know, at the end, he won't say, I'm not going to burn that much, I'll say I'm sorry, you know, it's not that bad. The Rambam says that doing mitzvahs because you're afraid of the fire of Gehenna, or because you want the Schar of Olam Haba, is an avoda for mechasurei aseichel, the people who are not so intelligent. Tanim, children, if they see children, they're going to punish them. And those of you who know, he adds into the mix for women also. The Rambam always seems to add with the Tanim and the Machsuri Seichel. It was, I guess, his wife probably didn't read Hebrew, or he wouldn't have written that. But anyway, he says that that's for Amar Atzim, to be afraid. What does that mean? It's a mitzvah to say Yira. It's only Famarasim. Yira Tainish. Yira Sarayim is a higher level of Yira that says it's only for Gedolim. Yira Tainish is only for... What's the mitzvah? The mitzvah of Yira Hashem is not to be thinking about the Eish of Gehenna. The mitzvah of Yira Hashem is to be in awe of Hashem, not to be afraid of Hashem. Afraid is for little children. Afraid is for Mechasurei Seichel. Afraid. We know that being afraid of the fire of Gehenna does not motivate people adequately. Because we never saw the fire of Gehenna so far away, we hope to live a very long time. Who knows by then, you know, what will be with the fire of Gehenna, maybe Mashiach will come before then and something will happen. You know, it's not a great motivator. You know, if a darshan gets up and he screams about how hot Gehenna is and how terrible it is, you know, I'm saying it doesn't have any effect, but it's not what's supposed to guide someone that should be the mitzvah of Yiras Hashem. Yiras Hashem is awe of HaKadosh Baruch Hu. It means that a person who does things with the awareness that their Baruch Shalom is watching and just afraid to do things that HaKadosh Baruch Hu doesn't want. The marshal that I have personally for Yiras Hashem is the example of an Adam Gadol. If an Adam Gadol would be standing next to me, I wouldn't do an Avera. If I was in the presence of Rav Moshe, I wouldn't do an Avera. Why? I'm afraid Rav Moshe is going to hit me? No, if you're standing with Rav Moshe, you're going to do an Avera? No. Why? Because of Ahava? It's not Ahava. It's Yira. Afraid of what? Afraid of what? You're in awe of Rav Moshe, you don't sit in front of him. And if you're in awe of Rav Moshe, you don't sit in front of him. Now that means more than not doing Averis. Yiras Hashem is that when a person does things, a person asks himself if what he's doing is right. If it's the right thing to do. It's much more than just Babulti Sechato in the simple sense of the word. It's a different attitude. It's an attitude of standing in the presence of Rabbi Shalala. You don't do things that are just not the right thing to do, and you do things that are the right thing. Many times people have shaylas, and the shaylas are technically whether something is mutter or asr. ask a shayla, the answer could be that it's mutter. But not everything that's mutter is necessarily the right thing to do. There's enough area where there are things that may not be the right thing to do. And if someone is Yiras Hashem, he doesn't have the problem. I know, because the example that comes to my mind, and I have parents who tell me that kids that are learning out of town, they don't see them a whole year, they hear they're learning well, they're dominating well, they're good. They come home Ben Azmanim, they wake up 10 o'clock. So one parent, he told me, his kid's Freud, I said, why don't you tell him this, my creation is 8:30? So no, he wakes up at 8:15, washes his nether back, puts on his sister, says creation, and goes back to sleep. And 10 o'clock, he goes to daven, you know, just before his night creation, and I'm so he's a grandik nachtetzu, he has the latest man, so you know. So what do you tell a kid? Their parents feel there's something wrong. So I says, what do you want from me? I learned the whole man. I got up for Shachar and Yeshiva. What do you want? Technically, he's right. But it's not the right thing to do. You know, if an Adam Gavra was visiting the house, he wouldn't do that. If he sensed the Rebbeinu Shalom there, that's not the attitude that the Rebbeinu Shalom wants from him. There are certain things that a person has to refrain from doing because he asks himself, is it right? Is it the right thing to do? There's certain things that are chiyuvim on a person, but they're not chiyuvim. There's certain things that you're mechuyev to do, but you're not mechuyev to do. There's certain things that Chazal call lefdim ishuras hadin, and it's expected of certain people to have lefdim ishuras hadin in some case. You know, if somebody has, just a practical example, if you have a friend who's very sick, and yeshiva, a bunch of guys get together and learn whatever he's made up from the Chafetz Chaim. Is there a chiyuv for a person to learn Chafetz Chaim? But is it the right thing to do? It's the right thing to do. I'm not saying this, or maybe I am saying it, the first Chafetz Chaim, but I'm saying it that you should understand what I'm talking about when I'm talking about Yerushalayim. Yerushalayim is a different attitude. It's an attitude of doing things that Rabbi Shalom wants you to do, of being aware that Rabbi Shalom is around, being in awe of HaKadosh Baruch Hu. When a person is in awe of HaKadosh Baruch Hu, he has a different Mahalach HaKayim. You know, unfortunately, we've had over the last 10 years a lot of scandals, some of our financial scandals in the Frum community. There were a few occasions where I had a shaykhis to a person that was involved in one scandal or another, whether made the post or didn't make the post, is not the point. It was involved in Gnevis. And it's shocking, you know. Some person, you know, he's purportedly from, gets involved in these type of things. But I've had people have told me, Mamish Bazal Rosh, and they said, you know, they were usually, very often starts with a computer one way or another. He was trying on the computer, and he said, you know, I can do this, you know, I can use, I can do this and this, and they won't know who I am, and I could do it, and you know, what do you know? It worked. The first time, I didn't say about being big time than others. I know it worked. And then before they know it, you know, they think and they're into quicksand. When I was a little kid, and they used to wish for mitzvah boys to be an erlich yid. It's the one that erlich means honest, just being honest. That's all you can give a guy a bracha, is be honest. Pretty big bracha. Because the person is tempted always, it always starts with small things. Small little ganevish thing that you can fix, that you can do later. Depends how you live. Depends if you live in awe of the Kaddish Baruch Hu. Depends if you live, if you're self-centered on that, or if you're aware of a Bairi Elam around you. I heard an interesting ma'aseh from somebody who was involved. Someone got engaged. And the Kala side promised to support the person who's been Torah, he was going to learn for a while. And the Kala side, although it was hard for them, they made certain commitments for support. During the engagement, it became clear that the chassan had some type of disease in the past, which she was not Megala, which probably after Yalochi should have been Megala. She wasn't Megala, and the Kala side found out about it after the engagement, and they were very specific if they should break the engagement, they should go ahead with it. So they went to Rav Shlomo Zalman. The Kala's parents went to Rav Shlomo Zalman Arba. And it was a type of disease that could be fatal if it came back. So they went to Rav Shlomo Zalman and they told him what the doctor said. So Rav Shlomo Zalman told them I'm not a Navi, I can't tell you what's going to be. But you know, the Torah goes bust a ride. And that's what he tells us. Whether you understand the answer, you don't understand, that's what he said. But he said, I can't answer. So they went home, they talked it over, they decided they're going to go ahead with the Shema. So later, the Kala's father started thinking, you know, when a couple, you know, has negotiation about supporting, so how much does one side support more than the other side? It has to do a lot with the dynamics of the Shidduch. Certainly, if when they were negotiating the support, they would have known that the chasen had such a disease, you know, they wouldn't have, the way it works, they wouldn't have committed. They wouldn't have committed to support that much, had they known the whole story. See, when the Kala's father told to the chasen's father, you know, he said, look, I don't know, you know, go with Kishayim. So the Kala's father went back to his friend Zalman, and he asked him a shayla. He said, you know, I just told you the chasen was sick once. We can make certain commitments, but you know, we feel like it's a mekatos now. We're going out with the shidduch, but we would have never made this type of commitment had we known. So he said, the person said that the son of Zalman was sitting. He put his hands on the table, he stood up, and in a very angry voice, he said, you want to make profit from his tzar? You're looking to make financial profit? I don't want to talk to you. Go away. That's just kind of anger. Shlomo Zalman rather didn't, I understand, didn't get angry easily. But that was his response. I think most of us, if you heard the Shaila, you would think, oh, it's a pretty good Shaila, you know, it's Mechakos, Stickle Mechakos, you know, it's a pretty good Shaila. And the Zalman said, what? You want to make profits on his side? You're going to make profits? Of course, this all depends on how important money is in your life. Because money is major, so it's a major issue. If money is there, Shlomo Zalman looked at it, so it's not as major an issue. But Shlomo Zalman wasn't telling him he's wrong. Shlomo Zalman couldn't say, you're wrong, Al Pidin, you have no fear. He has a fear, Al Pidin. But sometimes there's a higher calling, a higher cheshbon, a cheshbon of what's right. What did Rabbi Shalom say about this? There's such a thing. There's a higher level of Avodas Hashem. A feeling of what does Rabbi Shalom want? What does Kadosh Baruch Hu want? And those cheshbonos are important cheshbonos. That's Yir Shamayim. Yir Shamayim is an Avoda. Yaakov says, what level of Yira you have to have, how much Yir Shamayim you have to have, enough that it affects your ma'aseh. If you do things differently, because Rabbi Yaakov is going Shitasa, he says, "What is Yira Shemayim?" The Bilti Sechatol. He says the definition of Yira Shemayim is that you should have enough of an awareness of the Bayri Yilam that you do something differently that you would not have done otherwise. That's one of the Tayag Mitzvahs, the Mitzvah Tzibidi. You just have to constantly be working on an awareness of a Kaddish Baruch Hu. Are we aware of it? Is something we're aware of? In Avodas Hashem, there are major issues and there are minor issues. When you deal technically, there are major things and minor things. Major things are Kriya Shema, Shemini Esrei, learning, mitzvahs, obligatory mitzvahs. Minor things are, depends on you, I don't want to make things minor, but you know, karbanis for a lot of people are minor. Or the Shir Shal Yayim. Shir Shal Yayim is like under the rug a little bit by a lot of people. Or Krishna Lamita. Or anybody have any other example? Like minor areas of Rifi and Yadayim. You know, maybe certain types of behavior are minor. Aggressive type of behavior, which may be, you know, yeah, certain things that are sort of minor. That are not as important. Like a Seder. There are certain things that are minor, things that are major. And the truth is, there's something to it. Certain things are more major than other things. It's true. Certain things are more major than others. In a world of Yir Shamayim, it doesn't work the way you would think. If you had a business, You have to run a business. You put your energy first into the major things, then into the minor things, of course. In Avodas Hashem, it can't work that way. If you're not going to get to minor things until you fix your major things, you're gone. You spend your whole life having Kavanah Shemini Esrei, trying to have Kavanah Shemini Esrei. You'll never get to anything else. What other part of davening is important? Kavanah Shemini Esrei. You never get to anything else. If your Avodah is just a technical Avodah, then you never grow. You can't grow because you don't finish the major points of Avodas Hashem. But if a person has Yiras Shemayim and has an attitude of Rabbi Shalom watching, your Shemayim is a mitzvah tanidi. It means that when it's time to say the Shir Shal Yayim, it's only time to say the Shir Shal Yayim. Rabbi Shalom is watching. A Shir Shal Yayim, I become aware lately. I got it. I give a Shir Shabbos in Sefer Rosh Hashanah. Rosh Hashanah Daf Lamed Aleph is the sugi of the Shir Shal Yayim. If I became aware of the fact, by virtue of the Mispalim, the way they responded to my remarks, that many people are not sure that if they come to the Yom HaDin, that they can guarantee that they ever said all the words of the Shir of, let's say, Yom Revi or Yom Chamishi. Most people seem to feel that it's possible that it didn't happen once all year that they said all the words. You believe such a thing? Huh? And I realized, you know, certain parts of Tanya, you say it so often, you know it by heart. The Shabbos Shemayin Esrei. Most people know it by heart. You say it once a week. It's not pleasure, you know this. Okay, right? You know it by heart once a week. The Shir Shal Yayim, most people don't know by heart. Even though you also say it once a week. I'm not going to fair anybody here. Only if you don't fair me. Why? So I realized, because, you know, in Shemayin Esrei, you say all the words in order. The Shir Shal Yayim, sometimes you say this word and then the next word, and sometimes you say this word and then a different word. It's just the way it is, right? So you sort of... Alright, so how important is Shir Shal Yayim? Shir Shal Yayim. You know, why do we say Shir Shal Yayim? What's in the car? How bad? The Gemara doesn't say to say Shir Shal Yayim. Just say it in the Beis HaMikdash, don't say it today. It depends. If you're Avaida, as a businessman, you know, start with the Shir Shal Yayim. You start with having Kavanah, the first bracha of Shemayin Esrei, the first bracha of Shema. But if you Yirei Hashem, which is our job is to be Yirei Shemayim. Yirei Shemayim at any given moment has a job to do. And he stands in front of the Rebbeinu Shel Olam, not trembling, but really trembling. It means wanting to do the right thing. Wanting to do the right thing is a 24-hour-a-day job. I don't think everybody here is on the level to have 24 hours a day a constant awareness of the Rebbeinu Shel Olam, although that's the mitzvah. But at least to have an attitude of Yerushalayim. So Yerushalayim, what I'm trying to tell you is the mitzvah of Yerushalayim. The mitzvah is not to picture Eshel Gehenim in front of you. It's not to tremble, of course. The Chesurei Seichel and Ketanim is just a mitzvah. But for us, it's a mitzvah to be aware of a Bairei Yalom, to stand in awe of a Bairei Yalom. That there should be times during the day where you do something because it's the right thing to do. It might feel harder, it might require effort. You do it because it's the right thing to do. It's the right thing to do at this moment, so then you do it. Then you do it. That's your Shemayim. It's your Shemayim, it's a mitzvah, which is, again, one of the six mitzvahs to mediate. It's a constant mitzvah that a person has to have. And it's an avodah. It's an avodah that you have to hear about. You have to think about, you have to work on, and it's something that a person has to be able to carry with them. So I hope that this revelation that you have, that Yiras Shemayim is for everybody, not just for people who are either carried away with their frumkeit or extremely big machmirim. Yiras Shemayim is for everybody, and it's not that hard. There are many moments in the day where a person can say, I'll do it because it's the right thing. I'm doing it because it's the right thing. That's the key. That's the key of the Yerushalayim. A good Shabbos, gentlemen.